With the highest number of young STEM graduates per capita in the EU, Ireland has the people and skills your company needs to succeed here. IDEA Ireland, the National Investment Development Agency, can help you find and nurture the people you need to internationalise and thrive. Our talent is just one of the extraordinary benefits Ireland has to offer. Learn more at IDEAIreland.com. Invest in extraordinary.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, March 15th. Coming up today,
the Fed weighs tougher rules for lenders following the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank.
Bank of America rakes in more than $15 billion in deposits after the failure of SVB.
TikTok considers splitting away from ByteDance.
And investors await reports on inflation and retail sales.
The State Department is condemning Russia over the downing of a U.S. drone, plus Ohio suing Norfolk Southern over last month's train derailment. I'm John Tucker. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Knicks road trip ended with a win at Portland. The Nets lost at Oklahoma City. The Rangers won. The Devils and Islanders both lost.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, the business news you need to start your day in just one 15-minute podcast. Each morning on Apple, Spotify, the Bloomberg Business app, and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning. I'm Amy Morris.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Here are the stories we're following today.
We begin with the continued fallout from the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. Bloomberg News has learned the Federal Reserve is now considering changes to its oversight of mid-sized banks. At the same time, former Fed Vice Chair for Supervision Randall Quarles is downplaying the role of looser rules in SVB's collapse.
I think there will be an effort to push down some of the regulation that currently applies to larger banks down into the smaller banks. I myself think that for the most part, that will probably be a mistake driven by a misunderstanding of what just happened.
Randall Quarles served as the Fed's top cop on Wall Street from 2017 to 2020.
Well, over the past few days, Amy, we've seen the collapse of SVB and state regulators seize Signature Bank. Despite all of that, Federal Reserve Governor Michelle Bowman says America's banking system remains on steady footing.
The U.S. banking system remains resilient and on a solid foundation with strong capital and liquidity throughout the system.
And Fed Governor Michelle Bowman made the comments at a banking conference in Honolulu.
Despite that assessment, some officials want more oversight. Senate Banking Chairman Sherrod Brown is among them. He sees little chance Congress will move to tighten regulations. He's urging the Fed to act unilaterally.
Every time the Silicon Valley Bank and the bankers so often come to Congress to weaken rules, too often Congress goes along. And whatever we do here, we're going to strengthen oversight rules.
Senate Banking Chairman Sherrod Brown spoke with Joe Matthew and Anne-Marie Hordern on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays from 1 until 3 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio and download Sound On wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, a key question in the Fed's probe of Silicon Valley Bank, Amy, will be who was managing risk? And we get that part of the story from Bloomberg's Doug Christner.
For much of last year, SVB didn't have a chief risk officer. A 2023 proxy statement shows Laura Izurieta stepped down from performing the role in April, although she didn't leave the company until December. It was in December when Kim Olson took the job after serving as chief U.S. risk officer for Sumitomo Mitsui Banking Corporation. Olson was based in New York, across the country from most of the rest of the SVB's top brass. The months-long vacancy has drawn the attention of lawyers who are circling SVB with an eye on bringing shareholder lawsuits. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Doug. When it comes to worries over Signature Bank, sources say federal prosecutors were already investigating the firm before its seizure by regulators. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger reports the probe involved the bank's work with crypto clients.
People familiar with the matter tell Bloomberg the New York bank was being investigated by Justice Department officials in Washington and Manhattan. The authorities wanted to know whether Signature was taking sufficient steps to detect possible money laundering by clients. Sources say the Securities and Exchange Commission was also looking into the bank's operations. There's been no official comment from any of the agencies or the failed bank. At this point, the bank and its staff are not accused of any wrongdoing. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thanks. Well, it was rebound day for regional banks after the recent carnage on Wall Street. First Republic had its biggest single-day gain ever yesterday, rising 27%. PacWest gained a record 34%, and Western Alliance Bancorp rose 14%.
While those regional bank shares were falling, short sellers minted more than $2 billion in paper profits in just 3 days. Trading from Thursday to Monday saw the Spider S&P Regional Banking ETF fall 23%, its biggest plunge since 2020.
Well, the pain in regional banks is paying big dividends for Bank of America. BofA mopped up more than $15 billion in new deposits in just a matter of days. JPMorgan Chase, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo also raked in billions, though the figures have not yet been disclosed.
Another major story we're following this morning involves TikTok. We're learning the Chinese company's leadership is discussing the possibility of separating from its parent company, ByteDance. Let's get the latest live with Bloomberg Steve Rappaport. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Amy and Karen. Divesting TikTok from its Chinese parent company would be a last resort if the platform's existing proposal with national security officials falls through. That's according to sources who also tell Bloomberg Beijing would ultimately have final say on a split. Congress, the White House, and more than half of U.S. states banned the use of TikTok on government-issued devices. The Senate is taking up legislation for a total ban in the U.S. Live from New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thanks. Well, on the economic front, we're coming off a day where consumer prices showed inflation is still an issue. Now we get another pair of key economic reports, and Bloomberg's Michael McKee has the details.
Two more reports on producer prices and retail sales will help Fed policymakers decide what still needs to be done to tame inflation and how quickly. A week ago, investors were arguing over whether the central bank should raise interest rates by a quarter or half percentage point. Throw in one banking crisis, and some went so far as to predict rate cuts. The Consumer Price Report, out Tuesday, showed prices are still rising, however. Today's PPI will offer evidence of inflation in the pipeline, and retail sales will show whether Americans still feel confident about spending money. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. And straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 5:07 on Wall Street. 36 degrees in New York with partly cloudy skies going up to 45 degrees. Time now for a look at some of the other stories making news in New York and around the world. For that, we're joined by Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Amy. U.S. unmanned aircraft collided with a Russian fighter jet over the Black Sea. The $32 million drone later crashed into the water. U.S. officials claim the Russian pilots made close passes and sprayed fuel onto the drone before the plane struck the drone's rear propeller. State Department spokesman Ned Price.
We are engaging directly with the Russians, again, at senior levels, to convey our strong objections to this unsafe, unprofessional intercept, which caused the downing of the unmanned U.S. aircraft.
The State Department's Ned Price went on to call it a brazen violation of international law. Moscow insists its warplanes didn't fire their weapons or hit the drone. The cleanup continues from a nor'easter north and west of New York City. The governors of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut issued states of emergency yesterday. Some towns in Putnam County, New York, are digging out for more than 10 inches of snow. New York lawmakers floating a personal income tax increase for individuals earning more than $5 million and a child tax credit expansion. Lawmakers also pitch raising the current 10.9% tax rate to 11.4% on taxpayers earning more than $25 million. Meanwhile, state Senate and Assembly Democrats have pushed back on Governor Hochul's plan to tie the minimum wage to inflation. They say the hourly rate should first be boosted to ensure workers earn a living wage. The deadline for lawmakers and Hochul to agree on the proposed $227 billion state budget is March 31st. Ohio is taking Norfolk Southern to court over last month's train derailment and toxic fire in East Palestine. The state attorney general, Dave Yost, says the lawsuit aims to ensure the railroad pays for the cleanup and environmental damage.
This derailment was entirely avoidable, and I'm concerned that Norfolk and Southern may be putting profits for their own company above the health and safety of cities and communities that they operate in.
AG Yost also plans to force the company to pay for groundwater and soil monitoring in the years ahead. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, John. Time now for the sports report brought to you by Tri-State Audi. For that, we bring in Bloomberg's John Stashower.
All right, Amy, Knicks have to be happy to get a split of the four-game road trip considering Jalen Brunson only played a half of one game. Emmanuel quickly has started in Brunson's place and in Portland. He scored 28 points at 10 rebounds. Knicks went from down 13 to up 19. They beat the Blazers 123-107. They sit fifth in the East. Game ahead of the Nets, who ended their trip at Oklahoma City. Got outscored by 24 in the second half, and OKC won 121-107. Mikal Bridges led Brooklyn with 34. At the Garden, Rangers with a three-goal first period, two by Mika Zibanejad. He's up to 34 goals on the year. The new Ranger, Patrick Kane, scored on the power play. Blue Shirts beat Washington 5-3. Devils lost to Tampa Bay 4-1. Same two teams play again in Newark tomorrow. Islanders lost in L.A. 5-2. Kings with four goals in a 10-minute span of the second period. NCAA tournament's underway. Pitt with a one-point win over Mississippi State. Tonight in Dayton, Fairleigh Dickinson takes on Texas Southern, who's got a record of 10-16. FDU got into the NCAAs despite losing the NEC tourney final to Merrimack, who's new to Division I and not yet eligible for the NCAAs. NIT, Seton Hall lost by one at Colorado. Hofstra beat Rutgers in overtime. The Giants traded a third-round draft pick to the Raiders for tight end Darren Waller. The Jets signed free agent wideout Alan Lazard. Will that lead to acquiring Lazard's teammate at Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers? Perhaps, but hasn't happened yet. Veteran QB Andy Dalton signed with Carolina. The Colts expect to release quarterback Matt Ryan. John Stashelin, Bloomberg Sports.
With the highest number of young STEM graduates per capita in the EU, Ireland has the people and skills your company needs to succeed here. IDA Ireland, the National Investment Development Agency, can help you find and nurture the people you need to internationalize and thrive. Our talent is just one of the extraordinary benefits Ireland has to offer. Learn more at idaireland.com. Invest in extraordinary.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from coast to coast, from New York to San Francisco, Boston to Washington, D.C., nationwide on SiriusXM, the Bloomberg Business App, and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning, I'm Amy Morris, and we continue to track the fallout after the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. Turns out we're seeing some larger banks benefit, but there's more going on here, too. We're joined now by Bloomberg Finance reporter Jenny Serain. Jenny, it's a pleasure. Thanks for taking the time. What is going on with Bank of America?
Yeah, that was the big news yesterday, was that they've actually soaked up more than $15 billion in deposits in the aftermath of SVB's collapse last week. So you're really seeing, you know, these bigger banks see just a huge influx of customers as they, you know, seek, you know, more stable and more, I guess, reliable banking partners during this time.
So customers are then saying, we don't want to deal with mid-sized banks anymore. We want to find a bank that's too big to fail?
That's one way of putting it. I think this really did spook a lot of folks. And it's, you know, in a time where it's hard to know, you know, exactly what the stability of your banking partner is, folks do tend to go with the biggest players. And so I think that is one thing that regulators and outside experts are worried about, that this will cause this kind of flight to quality in a way and just make these big banks even bigger.
Are there any other banks that are seeing an upside? I know Bank of America is the big headline.
Yeah, no, we've actually heard from a lot of other banks, you know, Citigroup, JP Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, also seeing really, really big inflows right now. So I think it's across the board, but we do have that, you know, hard number for Bank of America, $15 billion, just to give us kind of a sense of the scale of the increase that these guys are seeing.
So what are some of the regulators doing now to make sure this doesn't happen again?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because years and years ago, back in 2018, 2019 timeframe, we saw a big rolling back of regulation for these mid-sized banks, and a lot of folks in the past few days have really been pointing to that timeframe and those moves by regulators as what sort of got us here today. Back then, you know, they said, okay, for the regional banks of SVB's size, they no longer need to think about these losses in the securities portfolio as part of their capital. They did a few other things to kind of lessen the load for these guys. And so a lot of folks have been wondering, you know, if that hadn't happened, would we be where we are today? And so I think that's what regulators are really looking at and looking to try to answer for folks and looking at ways that maybe they can undo some of what they did just a few years ago.
I wondered about that, Jenny. There is a debate now over whether they need to enforce the regulations that are still are already in place, or if they do need to claw back and get more of those regulations back from the 2018-2019 timeframe. What are you hearing? There's a lot of finger pointing here.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think, as you might imagine, in D.C. especially, it's become something of a blame game. You know, you've got Democrats on one side saying, oh, this was happening under Trump when he, you know, encouraged the rollback of all these different regulations. You've got Republicans on the other side saying, no, this all happened under Biden's watch and his regulators weren't, you know, they were asleep at the wheel. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that and you know, totally expected in some ways. But I do think you see regulators really digging in here and looking for ways to make sure that something like this really doesn't happen again.
So how is this bound to factor into the Fed's decision next week, or will it?
I know. I think that's a really important question and one we're trying to track very closely. I mean, I think the one interesting aspect of all of this is, you know, with these big, big banks now seeing this huge influx of deposits, it really has taken away the pressure for them to pass on some of the Fed rate hikes to their customers. You know, that was something we really thought we'd start seeing this year. And so it's already, you know, you're already seeing some of the ways that this, you know, transmission mechanism from Fed rate hikes is already starting to break down. So I think it will, there's no way it won't factor in, but hard to say exactly how this might shake out.
Has the dust settled? Is another shoe going to drop?
That's what we're watching. So, you know, I think it's hard to say. We've had Moody's come out with a lot of more, you know, putting a lot more banks on ratings downgrade watch. They actually downgraded the entire sector yesterday. So it feels like the rating agencies at least think there's more to come. But regulators, they really tried to bring the full force of the federal government to bear on Sunday. And so I think they're hoping this is contained for now. But no, you've got folks on different sides of the aisle on that one.
Before we let you go, Jenny, about a half a minute here. What are you watching for in the next few days?
I mean, I think we're really paying attention to some of these regional banks that had a really high ratio of uninsured deposits, because those are the folks that might start to see a real big pickup in deposit flight. And that was really what prompted the failure of SVB on Friday. So I think that's what we're mostly looking for any signs that you're seeing a big outflows. And beyond that, you know, just continuing to track what goes on with SVB. You know, there's been reports out there that the FDIC has restarted the auction for those assets. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But there's still a lot of moving pieces here.
You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak Today, your morning brief on the stories making news from Wall Street to Washington and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed at 6 a.m. Eastern each morning on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning starting at 5 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington, Bloomberg 1061 in Boston, and Bloomberg 960 in San Francisco.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, "Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130.
Plus, listen coast to coast on the Bloomberg Business app, Sirius XM Channel 119, the iHeartRadio app, and on Bloomberg.com. I'm Amy Morris.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.